Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But so that God's work might be revealed, we must do the work of God who sent me. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made some mud with the saliva. And he spread the mud on the man's eyes and said, "Go wash in the pool." And the man went and washed, and he came back able to see. Given all the discussion and the discord that it will cause, the actual healing in this story is just a few short sentences. As is typical in John's gospel, a sign that Jesus performs, like the water turned to wine, or the official's son healed, or Jesus feeding 5,000 people, is simply told. But each sign is followed by a long discussion and then an explanation by Jesus of what he's done. In today's reading, we have the sign and the discussion, the disagreement, really, between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. The explanation that Jesus will give for the sign of healing the blind man is in chapter 10. The Good Shepherd Discourse. This is something I learned this week, that the Good Shepherd Discourse is actually referring back to this story of healing the blind man. We're going to read that story on Wednesday night, but I'd encourage you, if you're interested, to go home and read that story in chapter 10 compared to this story and discourse, and you can see how they echo back and forth. But the opening lines of this story demand our attention. The disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" This idea of retributive justice is found in the Bible. We've all heard the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. But there is also evidence in the Bible against that idea. The whole book of Job argues against this idea of retributive justice, showing that a righteous man can suffer. Jesus responds clearly, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was simply born blind." Such things can happen in the imperfection and brokenness of the world. But we humans too often want an explanation. We want to know why. Because if we can place a reason or some sort of blame on the suffering of others, it allows us to feel a little more safe and secure. So even though our minds may reject the idea of retributive justice, we often fall into that when we experience suffering. When we suffer, we might ask, "What did I do to deserve this?" As if we expect our goodness and faithfulness to be rewarded. Or we see other people who are suffering and say, "They don't deserve this." Professor Rolf Jacobson talks about this in his weekly Working Preacher podcast. Jacobson had cancer as a teenager, which left him in a wheelchair. When he became sick as a teenager, someone in their church told his parents, "Well, clearly you didn't feed your children the right kind of antioxidant diet to prevent them from getting cancer." Jacobson also tells about a seminary student who wrote an article for Working Preacher about ministry with people with disabilities. This young woman was born without an arm, and she tells about a church member who came to her parents and asked how they had sinned for their child to be born that way. We want reasons for things. It gives us an illusion of control and safety. But we also recognize, and I can see in your reactions, how painful and harmful it is for people who live with disabilities or experience illness to have this reflection that it could be caused by something they've done and not by the chances of life. In this story, Jesus doesn't get caught up in trying to explain it. The man was born blind. Neither he nor his parents sinned. The blindness is a given. But rather, Jesus moves to what is next. We can act now, he says to his disciples, so that God can be revealed. Given the blindness, what are we to do next? And even though it is the Sabbath, Jesus acts. For Jesus, there is never a wrong time to offer healing and to restore wholeness. For Jesus, now is always the time to give life. As followers of Jesus, we too can choose to work for life and wholeness for people who are sick, in need, or suffering. We can work to increase access to health care for all the people in our community or to assist with medical expenses. We can pray with and for people who are ill, for emotional and spiritual as well as physical healing. We can come alongside people with disabilities, recognizing their inherent wholeness as humans, even when their bodies or their cognitive abilities differ from ours. We hear, as we continue the story, that this man, before Jesus came to him, had been a beggar. The neighbors and those who had seen him before start to ask each other, isn't this that man who was always sitting there begging at the gate? And some thought, yes, it's him. And others said, oh no, it must just look like him. But the man kept saying, yeah, that's me. Jesus healed me. In the story, sight and blindness are metaphors for insight and understanding. A man born blind is healed, and he's made able to physically see, but even more, he comes to understand who Jesus is. Throughout the story, the man's insight develops. His understanding of Jesus progresses. First, he tells the crowds, a man called Jesus healed me. But pretty soon, when the Pharisees are questioning him and they say, who is this Jesus? He tells them, he's a prophet. And then as the Pharisees continue to question Jesus and how could he be from God and heal on the Sabbath, the man gives his testimony. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Clearly, Jesus must be from God to perform such a miracle in my life. And finally, when Jesus asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, Lord, I believe. And he worships Jesus. In contrast, the Pharisees, who believe that they see and understand everything from the start, are shown to be blind and even to dig in their blindness, right? As about who Jesus is and what he's doing. They hold so tight to their legal traditions and their own expectations of what is possible and what is right, that they are blind to what is happening right in front of them. And finally, they decide that because he healed on the Sabbath, Jesus must be opposed to God. At the end, Jesus confronts the Jewish leaders. If they could admit their misunderstanding, they could be saved. But since they cling to the beliefs which blind them to what is happening in front of them, they condemn themselves. They reject the possibility of relationship with God, which is John's way to define sin. Sin, throughout John's gospel, means to reject relationship with God. And what about the man born blind? At the beginning of the story, he is a beggar, living at the margins of society due to his disability. Then his sight is restored, but because he bears witness to Jesus, being from God, he is cast out of the synagogue, rejected by his religious community. In the end, the man who was born blind is found by Jesus and becomes his disciple. Do you hear that echo with the Good Shepherd story? Jesus goes to find that sheep who is lost. The man has made a full journey of faith from not knowing who Jesus is to seeing God, to being fully in relationship. He has entered into eternal life, offered only by relationship with Jesus. Like the Samaritan woman and the official whose son was dying, the man born blind had an encounter with Jesus which utterly changes his life. In telling the story, John invites us to encounter Jesus as well. He invites us to open our eyes, to open our physical eyes to the ways that Jesus is active in the world and in our lives, and to open the eyes of our hearts to the presence of Jesus as the one sent from God, to grow in relationship and also be found as disciples of Jesus. And finally, John invites us to remember that for disciples of Jesus, there is never a wrong time to offer healing and restore wholeness in the world. For disciples of Jesus, now is always the time to receive life and to give life to others. Thanks be to God.